What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, June 4th, 2018. I'm the Kinda Funny World Champion, Greg Miller, alongside my co-champion in the Per Schneider InterSight Cup, Tim Geddes.
So how does that work? Is that me and you are this, or is it kind of funny?
No, it's kind of funny, but we won it. We brought it here.
Okay,
if you missed it, ladies and gentlemen, we put up a party mode on Friday. IGN versus Kinda Funny in Mario Tennis Aces. We didn't want to spoil the finale, but a lot of you watched it. Thank you for the support. If you haven't watched it, please go watch it. I win the Kinda Funny World title from one scumbag named Nick Scarpino, and then we win, for the first time ever, the InterSight Trophy. Now that we have the Per Schneider InterSight Trophy, Kinda Funny has it, which means I believe we can defend it against any site at any time.
Oh, yeah,
and
I
anything.
Like that.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
If God forbid, Nick got challenged for the cup by Easy Allies or something, he could do it, I guess.
I like that.
But I think we have to vote in.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
God, no. It was,
Cool, Greg. Yeah. There's one problem with the show right
now. Here we go.
And I want you to know
the bar's wrong or some shit. Is that
you're
right?
Doing God's work. I'm just fucking with you. But yeah, they're bodies.
There we go.
Now it's Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Do we have to restart the whole show?
No, it's okay. I'll let it slide this time.
If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your questions, your comments, your bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to watch us record it. If you're watching live, there's a special job just for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight at the end of the show for everybody listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, thank you for your support. Please consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It keeps the mics on, keeps us going to E3, and keeps all these weird people getting hired. Isn't that right, cool, Greg?
Hell yeah.
That's what I like to hear. Housekeeping for you, first and foremost, congratulations to Brian Altano and his wife Teresa on
a little mini brap brap there.
They got a little mini brap brap. Brian's a dad. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Very, very heartwarming.
Very unexpected. Never would have called it. When I met that man.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say we've had like a 9-month window of warning that it was gonna happen.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But no.
You're saying on how much he's grown up?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Like the Brian Altano I knew when he got hired at GameSpy, right? When he first came in. Different man now.
Different man.
And literally half the man. You know what I mean?
Half the man and a better man.
I was looking, 100%. Say. Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Before, I would have stabbed him, you know, just to get him out of my way. Now, though, I'd never stab him. Like him too much. Back then, though.
Solid points.
Throwing him out of the car. Right now, over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe, our annual Kinda Funny Games Cast E3 Predictions episode is up. Early reviews are that it's really good. We love doing that one. That's an awesome one. A lot of
my
good discussion.
Favorite episode of the year, always.
Yeah, a lot of kids commenting that on the YouTube channel. Warms our heart. I was going to say heart warms, but no, it warms our heart. Go check it out. I think it's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
I like when we get to Nintendo and I get to blow your mind.
You blew my mind. That's my thing. Is usually the Tim Geddes get hyped holy shit moments are reserved for E3 itself.
Yeah.
You gave me a fucking get hyped moment during the predictions.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that.
I think the 19 IPAs you had help, but nobody knows.
Yeah.
Reminder that E3 is coming up next week. And when I say next week, I really mean Saturday. Remember, for each and every conference, we will have a pre-show, a live reaction stream, and a post-show. You can watch all of that live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you miss any of it, you can then catch the live reactions get put up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Then the post shows are Gamescast. They get put up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames alongside podcast services around the globe. Shout out as well to Andrea Renee, hosting EA Play on Saturday, the first E3 conference, getting kicked off with Andrea Renee right there.
Hosting a press conference, man. That is some real shit.
That's next level.
That is next level. We've never done that.
No. I mean, the closest we do is the Final Fantasy thing, but that's not an E3 press conference.
E3 press conference,
right,
man.
Yeah, yeah,
busiest lady in gaming, doing the damn thing.
Living up to her name. And today we're brought to you by Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about that later. Ladies and gentlemen, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be, as I stall just a little bit to make sure I got the number right. The Roper Report. Time for some news. We're whispering them in today. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Is it finally happening?
The answer
DevilMayCry5.com has been registered.
Woo.
Now, I caught this via Reset Era, but even there, the original poster gave full credit to The Pale Moon on the DMC Discord server. I love that this is the era we exist in, and I love that everybody knows how to give each other credit. Everybody's amazing on the internet. I love it. Most people. DevilMayCry5.com has been registered. You might say, okay, things get registered all the time. In the sleuthing work here, this is the same company that registered MonsterHunterWorld.com, ResidentEvil7.com, all the .coms you'd be expecting. Mm-hmm. Is this official in your mind that we are getting Capcom to say, hey, guess what? Devil May Cry E3.
There has been way too many leaks about, no, not leaks. Yeah, I guess it started with the leak, and then it came out with a more scuttlebutt over the last couple months of Devil May Cry 5. I expected it PSX, but PSX ended up not being what we thought it was going to be.
Sure.
So I think it makes a lot of sense. I can almost ensure we will see this game at Sony's press conference.
Ooh. And you're still, are you sticking by, you made the prediction, right?
That it'll be PS4 exclusive, console-wise.
Yeah, you'll go to PC, but
But another interesting thing that you didn't put here is
Resident Evil 2.
The same thing. Remake 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Resident Evil 2.com that these people had also registered has now been updated. Mm-hmm. The information there is updated. When you click on it, what is it? It says okay or something when you go to it, or hello or something like that?
I was doing more show. I didn't
Okay. It's something, there was a screenshot as well in this Reset Era thread that I believe is from the Discord thing, that when you click on it, there's a little message on all, it's all white and it's just like okay or something like that.
Honestly, both these things to me, the definitely get hype moments. Resident Evil 2 is my favorite of the traditional Resident Evil games.
Okay. Do you not count 4?
Of 1, 2, and 3. It is, it is my
that's
favorite.
Fair. That's fair. I think
and I feel like it's most people's favorite.
Yeah, I do too.
And the idea of a remake using the RE7 engine or some type, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm excited to see how it plays out.
That's one that would get me moving.
Yeah.
That would definitely, in terms of an E3 announcement that gets me hype of like, oh, fuck, what is this and how's it going to go? Like, I don't want to hear about that. Yeah.
And a Devil May Cry 5, man, I'm so ready for it. It's been too long. It's even been too long since DMC. And I know a lot of people didn't love that game. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much as the other ones. I feel like the last time I was blown away by a Devil May Cry game was 3.
Okay.
But I enjoyed, there were elements that I really did enjoy in 4. And if Devil May Cry 5 is what they end up going with as the title and continuing the story, I'm here for it, man.
Okay. So Sony's conference on Monday, that's when you say.
I'm thinking.
1 week from today.
Oh my God.
Can you believe a week from today? Yeah, we'll know so much.
We'll know so much.
We'll already be through the majority of the conferences and we'll be getting ready for PlayStation. Ubisoft will probably be wrapped by now, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's Square?
Yeah. Oh yeah, wait, it's Ubi then Square, right?
I think it's Square than Yubi.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Of course, you can go to kindoffunny.com where we've put up our entire schedule with the pre post shows and all that jazz. All estimates. Who knows how long these people are going to talk.
Very excited. And speaking of Square.
Greg Way, number 2 on the Roper Report. I will tell you right now, before I even give the... this story is complete bullshit, says Greg Miller. I'm giving it a big bullshit label. But I know a lot of people wanted me to talk about the Superman stuff last week with Rocksteady and all that jazz, and that came from 4chan, and then it kind of got momentum. Today, there's a thing getting momentum. We're going to read it, then I'm going to tell you why I just think it's fucking garbage. Is that there Crystal Dynamics Avengers game from Square... a Marvel Ultimate Alliance reboot. Over at 4chan, there's this statement up that was also pulled to comicbookresources.com, but it all originates from 4chan. I'm going to read it here, okay? Cutting to the short of it, the Avengers project is Avengers Ultimate Alliance. But it's not Ultimate Alliance 3. It's a full reboot with the name on it. Parentheses, think something like the new God of War minus the story continuity. Similar name, totally new gameplay and story structure. That's the reason why the tagline of the first teaser was reassemble, to hint at it being a reboot. This is also why the previous Ultimate Alliance games got up-resed recently for current gen. The game takes place from the perspective of multiple Avengers after a cataclysmic event broke the team apart. Parentheses, think more disassembled than Civil War. But there are three which are the core focus. Captain America, Iron Man, and Scarlet Witch. Parentheses, who you heard in the trailer. They aren't the only playable characters, but they are the leads of the story. Gameplay-wise, think of a mix between Uncharted and Infamous. Okay. So far, I'm like, that's a bold thing. It's coming from 4chan. Can you trust it? Can you not? I don't know. But it's E3. It's the season for rumors. Mm-hmm. It's the best time of the year. Can I tell you how much I enjoy doing these shows with you this time?
This is so damn good.
So every morning you wake up, you go, what are the presents on Twitter today? Here's where this thing gets fucked into the ground, if you ask Greg Miller. It'll also have connections putting in both the same world as the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game, parentheses, that Sanctum Sanctorum, how do you say that?
Sanctorum.
Appearance in the still image was not just for fun, and parentheses, as well as Eidos Montreal's Guardians of the Galaxy game. Marvel Games wants in on that shared universe idea that have made the films literal billions of dollars. That is the end. That is the statement. And that's where it gets crazy. I'm just going to go right over here. All right. No, I'm not actually. Marcus wrote in for a question.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. Okay. I mean, rumors are, you know, like buttholes. Everybody's got them. A lot of them are tasty. But this one is just goes sour at the end. Mm-hmm. It's just because I'm, okay, sure. Avengers Project, we know nothing about it. You figure we've got to know something soon. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. We talked about it on the predictions episode.
Avengers Ultimate Alliance, great name.
Ultimate Alliance was a great game. There's a lot of love for it. Yeah.
And putting Avengers before it, it's like a lot of that stuff. I'm like, cool, in.
I do like the idea of like that was the reason the tagline for the first teaser was reassemble. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, play the long game. Nobody actually thought too much about that, mm-hmm. but that'd be interesting to do it. I like the idea of, yeah, it takes after a cataclysmic event, let's bring everybody together. Of course, you get down to this gameplay-wise, think of a mix between Uncharted and Infamous.
Yeah, main characters, Captain America, Iron Man, Scarlet Witch. I think that makes a lot of sense, and yeah. I buy it. And they say that doesn't necessarily mean they're the only playable characters. I would be shocked if we don't get to play as Thor somehow.
Yeah.
But I think focusing on these, I can see the gameplay there. And
of course.
Scarlet Witch, I think, makes a lot of sense. They're going to obviously want a female rep to be one of the main characters, and with where we're at, with people being familiar with Scarlet Witch, especially after Infinity War and going into Avengers 4, I think this makes... It's this little detail that I'm like, I can buy this.
And of course, Uncharted... But here's the thing. Again, I'm on 4chan. I want to put up a rumor. I want to do all this different stuff, right? Okay. Yeah, Captain America, Iron Man, and Scarlet Witch, like you're saying, makes sense. That's not like a super surprise, right? Saying Uncharted...
I do think it's a super surprise.
Why?
I think adding Scarlet Witch in there?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I think that's kind of a pull.
No way. I think you said it yourself of after the latest Avengers and going into Avengers 4. Everybody knows who she is if you're a Marvel fan or even a casual mainstream fan.
Yeah, totally. I just think that that's the type of thing. It does make sense. That doesn't mean that that's... Like, I feel like if someone were coming with some leaked bullshit, I think Black Widow is way more of like, if there's going to be a woman, it's going to be Black Widow.
Sure, but I think you'd want to think of it this way, right? Like, I just feel like you and me should mm-hmm. do a games cast one day when there's nothing to talk about. Where we sit down and we go, all right, cool. To show... Remember that time... Greg called bullshit on the thing and then it turned out to be true. Let's see if we could, you know, explore what Greg's theory is. Where I think you and me, over a couple beers, mm-hmm. hey, there's this game announced, it's just a teaser trailer. Let's come up with a plausible rumor in quotes for what it would be.
I love that.
I think you can do this because if we were going to sit down, right, mm-hmm. and you were like, all right, cool. So first off, what do we know? It's Avengers, Marvel Games, Crystal Dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, cool. What does Crystal Dynamics make as of late? Tomb Raider. Okay, so think of an Uncharted like Infamous. Like, that's the thing right here, right? They didn't say Tomb Raider. That would be too on the nose to say think mm-hmm. Tomb Raider meets Infamous. Even Infamous, like, there's a lot of climbing and free-roaming open worlds. Okay, whatever. Even that, I would say, if you're going to shrink down the open worlds, is like Tomb Raider or Rise of the Tomb Raider. I digress, though, mm-hmm. right? If we're going to sit down, like, who are the main characters? Well, we can't come out too much. It's E3. We can't say everybody. Maybe this is everybody, but you know what I mean? We're trying to differentiate, right? Captain America, Iron Man, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We need these guys. That makes sense. And then who are you going to put next? If you were going to say to me, oh, Black Widow, right? Scarlett mm-hmm. Johansson's made that character matter, yeah. yada, yada. My initial response would be, no, she's too similar to Captain America.
And well, my thing is, like, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say Black Widow. I would say Black Widow over Scarlet Witch.
But I mean,
Scarlet Witch is to me such a obscure pull.
Yeah. But again, it's you and me right now making the argument of let's make a plausible rumor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, like, Black Widow, I think, is too in line with it. So what would be the next pull of, we need a female character in this game. We want to make sure we're representing.
I guess we're coming from different angles on this because you're like, this is not real. Whereas
you
I'm
think
like,
it's real.
I say there's a good chance this is real.
What? And here's the thing. Maybe that first part is real. Mm-hmm. But when we get down to, they want, it'll also have connections putting in both the same world as the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game, as well as Eidos Montreal. They don't put it in here. Eidos Montreal's rumored Guardians of the Galaxy game. That Guardians of the Galaxy game has been talked about before. Eidos Montreal was the first person attached to it, or first studio. It seems like it is them from the attachments, but you've brought it up before, right? That there's been other rumors,
yeah, other stuff. But yeah,
I feel like we've had on the E3 stage before when we interviewed Bill Roseman from Marvel mm-hmm. Games. I feel like he said before, like, no, we want him to be. We're not saying it could never happen, but we want our developers to go off and make their games and not worry about how they tie in together.
Yeah.
And that's the thing here of like, okay, cool. Like, that's too much. I understand and I love it and it'd be awesome if it could work.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is I think it could only work if you were to say, and stick with me, this doesn't make exact sense. Hey, we're PlayStation. We have them all of our first parties are working on mm-hmm. different things. So they're coming together all the time and talking and they're on the same engine. They're on the same this. They're all doing their, you know what I mean? Like, why would Insomniac want to tie themselves to, and now granted, you might say they have no choice. Why would they want to tie themselves to what Crystal Dynamics doing? Especially when you're talking about it takes place from the perspective of multiple after a cataclysmic incident broke the team apart. So like, it's Thanos, it's the Skrull, it's like something that would affect the Spider-Man universe. Otherwise, we're into the problem with the Netflix universe, right? Yeah, of like, why aren't they talking about all this shit that just happened? It's like, no, they don't want to, but blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what for me is like, I'm with you. These are all interesting. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And then we get to this, and I'm like, no way.
Here's my thing.
Lay it on me.
I think it's bullshit that like they're coming forth and being like, it's not going to be a shared universe. There's no way in hell that there's not somebody at the top of somewhere, and it's probably Marvel, that isn't like, this has to be shared. How shared? I don't know. Is it just overall, is it them just saying, yeah, it is all the same universe, but really, what does that mean? And I feel like the Marvel Games guys, I know that they mean the best, and they want the shit to work, and I believe in them from every time we've talked to them. It's like, they know what gamers want, and also the development time of these games, it's not as quote-unquote easy as movies of having a plan to be able to make sure that they all make sense together.
The amount of times games shift, the amount of times things get delayed and the game comes out beforehand, the amount of times you work on a game for a long time and then scrap everything you've done. Like, what, you know what I mean? That would be the thing of... Go ahead, sorry.
I just think that...
You think I'm getting too serious about how tied in it's going
to
be?
Yeah, I think that, but I also think that it's just like, they might mean for that to happen, but that's not going to end up happening. Like, there's going to be enough cameos and references in each other's games that I think from a Marvel level, because you're right, in a perfect world, the way we're thinking about like an MCU but for video games is, yeah, one company would have all of them and go forth. That's not where we're at. I see this more as the X-Men cinematic universe, where it's like there's a bunch of stuff happening and they are all tied together and it's messy as fuck, but there's fun cameos every here and there.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm talking mainly about the earlier years of the X-Men universe, but like with First Class when that came out, it's like, oh, it is tied to those other things, but you really need to kind of like know that it's tied. But
yeah,
things like seeing the Sanctum Sanctorum in Spider-Man, and if that is also then in the Avengers game, it's like, cool, it is the same universe, but it doesn't need to matter, you know. I think that there's no way they're not going to make that happen.
I
don't think they're going to do a great job at it.
Here's the my other argument is the fact that now it's under Marvel Games and they have all this stuff. I just feel, why would you also then hamstring your developers and do these different things? Where I feel like if this Avengers game is, let's just say everything except the shared universe shit's right? That we're not talking about like how movie rights are divvied up, right? Spider-Man could still be in this. I doubt as a playable character because they don't want to step on the toes of what they're doing on another contract, but Spider-Man would be in there. And if it's cataclysmic, it could be whatever version of Spider-Man in his armored spider suit or whatever. And I don't mean the movie armored spider. I mean like, you know, comic book. You'd get to do your own interpretation and build off your own thing. And like, I just feel like you'd want to give everybody this toy box and let them play and make their own stories rather than be like, well, I understand what you're trying to do with Spider-Man there. You can't, though, because Insomniac did this and blah, blah. You can have him swing by and go, oh, and he's got the white spider on his chest, but...
I just don't think they're going to take it that seriously. And I feel like video game storylines just aren't at the point that all that stuff matters. I wish it was.
Yeah, but I would like to think that Marvel would like to think that they can
exactly,
make it be that way.
But I think that we're too early for that, and it took how many shared universes in movies to get to where we were?
Yeah.
I feel like video games need to learn those learn those mistakes as well by taking the right and wrong steps as they go through the journey. And it reminds me of Batman when we recently, the new 52 Batman, and when it went to Death of the Family.
Okay.
Right. And it's like all the Bat series are going, and it's like they all have their own storylines, and like Batgirl had a very different vibe.
Batgirl
than everything
Burnside,
else.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this event storyline happens and it's like,
this doesn't make sense.
This doesn't make sense. We gotta pull you over here. But then once it goes back, they're still doing their own thing.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be like that. Does that excite me? Not really. I'd rather it be good, but they're gonna do this. They're gonna do it.
And here's my other thing. He's talking about like, you know, the Sanctum, Doctor Strange joint being in, like whatever in the screenshots or whatever. Like, yeah, that's going to be in every Marvel game that takes place in New York. You need that to be in New York, and I don't think it means that. Hey, guess what? This is happening in because it's Doctor Strange is universal. Spider-Man is universal. You know what I mean? Like, you want all that shit in there. You want when I swing through Spider-Man's New York from Insomniac, I hope I see Avengers Tower, and I hope I see the Baxter Building, and I hope I see, you know, all the things you'd expect there to be in the Marvel Universe. But I don't need it to be that when I see that same building in the Avengers game, I'm like, oh, same you know what I mean? Like, it'd be even cooler if Marvel Games does this for another decade or whatever and then puts out their own whatever Spider-Verse kind of thing, like, you know what I mean, same cross the universe of where it's like everybody has to, it's a fighting game or whatever, and they all come to, you know what I mean, like there's a billion things you could do if you built your own universe well. And this is the same thing with all their mobile games, where their mobile games don't necessarily tie into each other.
Yeah.
And this is not real. Greg Miller says it, just the part about the shared universe. All everything before then, sign me up, sounds great.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this type of rumor with the details they give, I give this 60% real.
Okay. We'll see soon enough, hopefully. Marcus wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD about that and says, hey, Tim and Greg, I've been thinking about Square Enix's Avengers game, and I'm curious on who you think the main villain of the game will be. Do they go the MCU route and choose someone like Thanos or Loki, who are well known to everyone, or do they go a little crazier and choose someone like MODOK? Love the show. Marcus.
I think they go crazy.
So you somebody
I think would, they like I think MODOK is actually a really interesting call. Really? Somebody that's like that could be like will be familiar eventually to people that watch movies but aren't currently. And I think that the choice of like Mr. Negative Insomniac, and I'm sure there'll be many more villains, but the focus on him so far, it's like, wow, that's like we're all too familiar with Green Goblin. And with all those. Having a choice like that, I think is interesting, and it differentiates enough, especially because there's going to be so many characters that you do know.
I think it'll be a team up kind of thing, as you'd expect. If I had to guess who's going to be at the top of it, who's going to be the main bad guy in the Avengers game, I mean, it sounds tired if you play enough Marvel games. I would say Doctor Doom.
Doctor Doom. I think Doctor Doom would be the best call.
Doctor Doom is still a super cool villain who's never got his due in a movie, so he's not there. But I know, like Ultimate Alliance, he was the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's
but not being Ultimate a reboot.
Alliance. I'm sorry. Marvel Heroes, mm-hmm. Omega or whatever.
No, oh, yeah.
Or is Marvel Heroes?
My vote would be Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they did go something that's off the fucking wall.
Sure.
And like in the same way that the general movie going audience didn't know who Thanos was, and now they do.
Yeah.
I think for video games, it could be the same thing. And also, people do know MODOK, and they knew some of the more obscure ones because of Marvel versus Capcom over the years.
Okay. Number three on the rope, a report. Crazy ass PlayStation is being crazy.
Hell yeah.
Over on the PlayStation blog, they put up an E3 post talking about the fact that E3 doesn't start for them on Monday. No, sir, it starts on Wednesday. That's right. This Wednesday, Sid Schumann wrote, join us at live.playstation.com, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook as we count down to E3 with new game announcements and updates each day leading to Monday's showcase. The PlayStation blog will have expanded coverage of the videos each day as well, but if you watch live at 8 a.m. Pacific, you'll be first to know. Wednesday, June 6th, 8 p.m., they're announcing a new PlayStation 4 game with PlayStation VR support. Thursday, June 7th at 8 a.m. Pacific, there's a release date for an upcoming Worldwide Studios title. Friday, June 8th at 8 a.m. Pacific, they're announcing a new PlayStation 4 game. Saturday, June 9th at 8 a.m. Pacific, they're announcing a new PlayStation VR game. Did I say that before? I said PlayStation 4 before that, right? Friday's a PlayStation 4 game. Saturday's a PlayStation VR game. They sounded too similar in my head. Sunday, June 10th at 8 a.m., details on an eagerly anticipated game coming to PlayStation VR. An eagerly anticipated game comes to PlayStation VR is what they put.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I love this because the problem is, like we saw last year,
yeah,
when they do the pre-show before their conference, like no matter how many big announcements they put there, it never feels like there's pomp and circumstance. And it never feels like it's as important as the show. This is like, hey, these are cool, important things, and we want to give them their own specific time. They might not be as big of a deal as what we're going to show at our conference.
Yeah.
But we don't want there to be distractions for this. And they're cool stuff. I like how they're coming out and letting us know what's happening. So it's not.
I wonder though about the hype levels they're infusing.
And then there's a problem there.
Wednesday, a new PlayStation 4 game with PlayStation VR support. Thursday, an upcoming Worldwide Studios title release date. Friday, a new PlayStation 4 game. Saturday, a new PlayStation VR game. Sunday, an eagerly anticipated game comes to PlayStation VR.
I imagine these type of things are going to be the level of what's the graffiti game?
Concrete Genie.
Concrete Genie. I think we're going to get those. Right?
Yeah.
If we get Playlink type stuff, it might be here.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's go one by one.
Okay. Wednesday, new PlayStation 4 game with PlayStation VR support. I feel like that one's too vague.
Mm-hmm.
That could be anything. The new PlayStation 4 game with PlayStation support. Okay, or VR support. I feel like that means it's a brand new game that we don't know anything about.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. With support, meaning that you can play it with or without it. That's cool. Okay. But yeah, I feel like that one's too vague to guess at. Mm-hmm. It may have a real, like, good thing. Here's where it gets interesting. Thursday, a release date for an upcoming Worldwide Studios title.
Dreams.
You think it's Dreams?
Here's my thing. It's not Days Gone.
Why couldn't it be?
Because I don't think that they're going to want... I mean, it'd be a bold move for them to be like, hey, here's Days Gone release dates in 2019. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, they've already said...
But I mean, like, a date in 2019.
Yeah?
That, like... I don't know. I would look at that as bad news. That's not even getting ahead of... I feel like it's too early to even talk about.
Well, and I mean, that's where it gets more interesting because you figure how has PlayStation been doing release dates in the last couple years? It's pretty imminent.
Let's wait.
It's gonna we have Since the game Horizon. Is ready 3 months tops. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's gonna be that far out. So that's what is coming up that we don't have a date on that could be like first party or worldwide studios, right? Dreams is on there, Days Gone. I know it's gonna sound like a Greg Miller joke, but I'm putting it on there. Patapon. I totally think they could be. I don't know why.
No, that's different.
Hey, it's how is it? It's coming from their people
because it's different. Like that's like a remastered title that's like not it isn't. It's not a proper game, you know.
Yeah,
that's like a fun PS2 classic style thing. It's like the Parappa when they did that.
Well, so but that's the thing though is it's got to be on that level. Patapon's in that bucket of hey, I have a title from Sony for worldwide. That we're going to announce before E3 to put out and have something leading into it that's exciting, gets people wrapped into it. The other one I would put on there was Blood and Truth, PlayStation VR title from London Studio that I think looks awesome, that I can't wait to play more of. Another PlayStation VR title, the Firewall game, that looks fantastic. We've enjoyed playing it. I played it at Judges Week. It's really far along from where it was at PSX in terms of HUD and like bells and whistles.
If it was a PSVR game, I feel like they would have said that in this. Not that they say PS4 game exactly. here, but... With how specific they're being, I feel like that's to differentiate VR versus PS4.
Sure. Hey, my problem with I don't think it's Dreams is that they still haven't done the Dreams beta, which they announced two years that they were going to do one that summer. Like I think they said last year PSX. No, so 2 years ago PSX that they would have a beta in the summer for that. Like
release date for Dreams. Hey, it's not happening. There's your date. Officially canceled.
Hey, it's a death date instead. Like, there you go. Yeah. I don't know. Dreams would be cool, but I do not think it's Dreams. I think they need to do a very, very public beta before they get out there. Unless, hey, Dreams is like every other game nowadays where we're releasing it in beta. You can pay for it and get it and play it, but like it's definitely not going to be like a full release of it. I don't think Days Gone is as high as it gets, I think.
Yep, me too.
In terms of like what it could be. And I don't think it's that crazy because you figure, as they've said, it's the four games at E3 on the show, right? And Days Gone is not one of them.
Yeah.
So how do you want to cap off all this coverage, all this goodwill? There's been a lot of great previews of Days Gone since Judges Week and Game Informer and all that jazz. Like, you could easily come out and be like, hey, a lot of people have loved it, blah, blah, blah. We're excited to say it's January, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which seems... I think too far away to announce.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like whatever release date they're going to announce on Thursday for this upcoming Worldwide Studios title, it will be
Dreams in August. Yeah.
Yeah. September before then.
Yeah.
I mean, if they said beta, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Friday announcing a new PlayStation 4 game. Okay. Could be anything. Saturday, a new PlayStation VR game. Cool. Could be anything. And then Sunday, an eagerly anticipated game comes to PlayStation VR. Fallout.
Yeah,
that's the one. That's the one I jumped to right. Fallout 4 VR.
Like
all the Bethesda's PlayStation VR games have gone to the other VR platforms, right? It makes sense that it would come back this way.
Mm.
An eagerly anticipated game comes to PlayStation VR.
Yeah, I'm out of the VR ecosystem, so I don't know what.
Well, I mean,
people would be eagerly anticipating. Well,
yeah, I guess that's. Ooh. Huh.
What you got for me, Greg?
Well, huh. I'll put it out there, and this would be something that needs to fucking happen. Everybody who pays attention to the VR world, Beat Saber. Beat Saber, like the whole thing, right?
Yes.
They moved some ungodly amount of units, which is like $2 million in revenue.
Dude, I want to play that game so fucking bad.
Yeah, I just don't want to plug in a Vive or whatever.
Yes.
And that would definitely be an eagerly anticipated game, right?
Hype level's high. I like that.
Okay. So I'm saying Beat Saber or... Yeah, I'm saying Beat Saber. I'm saying
That's
Beat
good,
Saber.
Man. That's
Beat
good.
Beat Saber. Andy, can I get a round of applause for Beat Saber? Thank you.
Beat Sabers. What are we talking about?
I tossed a question in here from Garrick. I think we might have just danced around it, though. Oh, interesting. Garrick writes in, and I will read it. To kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I'm excited for all the reveals PlayStation's talking about, but the biggest surprise may come this Sunday on which, quote, an eagerly anticipated game comes to PlayStation VR. Sunday is the same day as the Bethesda conference. Could this finally be confirmation that Fallout 4 VR might be coming to PlayStation VR? Would love to know the probability of this happening. Love what you guys do. Can't wait to see Kind of Funny at the GME 2018 in Indy this year. P.S. Bring Jared Petty. I don't think we'll be at the GME 2018 in Indy this year. But
do you know
who
that
knows?
Is? No. GameStop. Media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know.
No, we've we've reached out. We're in talks. We're not confirmed.
Our boy, who used to always get us, you know, the gigs over there, left.
Left there.
And so. I hear these other people now. They're What's Good Games fans, so it's totally not good. Yeah, Garrick, I think you're right there. And why I read this after talking about it already, that's an interesting wrinkle that Sunday is Bethesda as well.
But the timing doesn't work.
Sure, I hear you.
So I feel like that's unrelated.
Just something to put
8 a.m. and like 6 p.m.
Feather in the cap. Just putting it in there. Just letting you know that's something that's happening.
I'm on the Beat Saber train, Greg.
Good, I'm glad I got you there. Beat Saber, it looks amazing. If you haven't seen Beat Saber, ladies and gentlemen, you officially have my permission to pause this show and go watch anything from Beat Saber.
It's DDR in VR with lightsabers.
See, I would go away from the DDR train and think it's more like a rhythm game. It's like Guitar Hero with lightsabers, where the notes are coming down the highway and you slash them with lightsabers rather than that. But anyway, you slice it. Big fan. Number four, Red Dead Redemption 2 will have PS exclusive content. That's PlayStation. This is from Jason Schreier over at Kotaku. I feel like when they announced Red Dead, the PlayStation blog had something up about like this, but there's a little wrinkle here. Jason writes, today developer Rockstar announced a bunch of bundles and pre-order bonuses for the much-anticipated Western game, and buried amongst all the stuff about outfits and GTA Online cash in the PlayStation Store is this line. PlayStation exclusive. Play select content first on PlayStation 4. Details to follow. We don't know the scale of select content. Could be hats, could be a full expansion, but if it's anything like Sony's arrangement with Destiny, it will be a pain for Xbox players. The company behind the PlayStation 4 paid Activision to keep guns, maps, and even full strikes away from Xbox players for years, then did the same with Destiny 2 and several Call of Duty games. Microsoft has pulled its own timed exclusivity nonsense with Dragon Age Inquisition, as well as other big multi-platform games, including Call of Duty, over the past decade. So there you go.
Totally buy it. Makes sense.
Just a worth shit. Yeah, that's there. And then also, I put it in new dates, and I'll put it there. But yeah, you can go pre-order Red Dead right now. And there's regular edition, collector's edition, crazy ass, get a chest edition.
That doesn't come with the game?
And I don't know. I look at all these things, and I'm just like, man, oof, I don't have enough room anywhere to keep all this stuff. But I'm very excited for Red Dead. Kevin! Number five on the Roper Report plays right in to Big Kev Dog's strengths and weaknesses. Number five.
Are we gonna talk about a way out?
No.
We need to talk about way out.
Kevin and I played Way Out.
Hell yeah.
I platinumed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, I did not.
Kevin didn't like the game that much. It's all right.
I don't want my first platinum to be a game that like I'm not super hyped about. Like I'm really, really close to Hitman Go being my first platinum, but I just have to do that last one. So at some point I'll get back into it.
Speaking of Hitman Go, Greg Way, number five is Square Enix Montreal is no longer doing Go games.
What?
This is Alex Calvin over at PocketGamer.biz. That's according to studio head Patrick Naud, who, speaking to PCGamesInsider.biz, said, for record, Alex does work at Pocket Gamer. I thought I had the original thing, but he's sourcing somebody else. My gosh. Said that the premium mobile games market is becoming increasingly difficult to see success in. This is a challenge that Square Enix Montreal has been aware of for some time. Now we're going to go into quotes from Patrick. Full disclosure, I know Patrick through, obviously, my wife Jen, who used to work at Square Enix Montreal. Some would say her leaving is what killed the Go games.
God, no, bring them back.
No, that's not true. Patrick says, I have to say no. And then they put some brackets here. We're not working on other Go games. I'm sorry. It's one of the challenges we have today in this premium mobile market is diminishing. Cool, Greg. Can you shut the door, please? Andy's very loud. You've got more and more high-quality free titles, so there are even fewer and fewer people inclined to try something that will not be free. Despite the critical success and the great revenue we've had, it's sad to see that our games are only played by a small slither of the population because of the price point. That's such a big barrier for mobile users. A lot of people consume mobile games only, and they have all these options, all these games. Why should they invest money in this one unless they're very convinced? That doesn't mean they won't spend in-game, but they want to spend on a game that they're sure they're going to like. The perception of choice makes it that even if it's only $5, that's too much. Back over here to Alex writing. The studio is still focused on making mobile games, though. Following on from the Go series, Patrick still wants the studio to innovate in the mobile space with new concepts, which he hopes will then become a standard for others to look at. Quote, the focus is still tailoring high-end, high-quality, pristine mobile experiences, he said. Of course, Tim, this is what we've talked about forever, right? The race to the bottom, as Colin used to call it, in the mobile gaming, right? Mm-hmm. That when you give all these games out for free, that you can't turn a buck on anything. And that's why these predatory principles keep getting involved, why there's pay to win, why there's microtransactions, why there's loot boxes.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's so much political fuckery going on where there's just, with the Go series, which is such a fantastic franchise.
Yeah.
And like the games are so good, big fan of all of them, where it's like there's just been key choices with each one that I'm like, ah, this would have been so much more successful if this. Perfect example, Lara Croft Go.
Yeah.
Why wasn't it called Tomb Raider Go? Second example, why isn't this Kingdom Hearts Go? If it was Kingdom Hearts Go, people would pay the money.
Yeah.
But there's too much shit going on with the Japanese companies not wanting to do the Western stuff and not wanting to do their mobile games, their own weird fucking Unchained Chi Kwai, whatever the fuck stuff. So the Kingdom Hearts mobile
game. Oh, gotcha. Some dork shit.
It's like there's certain little things that I feel like would have solved these problems.
Sure. I feel like a big problem and a big part of it was timing and placing. I think when you, for us, quote unquote, the hardcore gamer, everybody here watching stuff, you hear a game that it's a mobile game, right? Like, oh, that's cool. Hitman Go, Lara Croft Go, Deus Ex Go, which Deus Ex in general wasn't, I don't think, big enough to decide to have
Deus Ex Go. Deus Ex Go is favorite dope, one. Though.
I'm not, no, no, damn, the quality of the Go games.
No, I wasn't trying to, you know, okay, I'm just saying, it's a great game.
Them being quote unquote mobile games and then later on coming over hurts them because it's with the exception of the Switch, which if you were to put out another Go game of Kingdom Hearts Go on the Switch before, don't even put day and date with mobile, fine, but make it that, hey, guess what? This is one of the premier platforms,
dude.
You'd kill, you'd clean up,
kill.
But it's the problem of, and I'm not saying Square Enix Montreal, Square Enix, whoever the decision makers are, wanting to be in that mobile market, wanting to see that mobile success, wanting to get the same success I know Square Enix has had with the Sniper games. Mm-hmm. Like, there's other ways to do it, but trying to make these high-quality experiences he's talking about, they're just not finding the audience they need on mobile when I feel like they could find them on console.
Yeah, especially Switch. That's a very good point.
I digress. Sue Rouge Vias writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Kind of Funny crew, my question is for the GoPro himself, Kevin Coelho. Square Enix Montreal studio head Patrick said today no more Go games are going to be there. How is the GoPro handling this news, and what will become of him? Also, does this mean no more games will be green lit, or that any Go titles already in development, if any, have been canceled? I couldn't find the direct quote, so I'm not exactly sure. Well, we've gone through all that stuff. I don't think they were working on it, and I guess they're just trying to move away from that. But Kevin, how are you handling this as the GoPro?
I mean, it's upsetting. Those games, I think, are a lot of fun. But I don't play games mobile. I did with these games on my iPad, but it's one of those things where I like them best on the Vita.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Where they belong, you know? And hearing them on the Switch, man, that'd be really cool.
That would have been awesome, right?
It's a shame that's not, there's, it's not going to continue. Yeah. I wish they would do a bundle on the Switch that just had all the Go games.
That'd be smart.
Because that'd be fun, and I'd replay them again.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't know how much people get out of it. Because it is, you know, you only get so many maps. And then for someone like myself, that's really cool because they have the, like, you get a certain amount of stars if you do certain things.
And there's challenges in there and stuff.
And yeah. It's so much fun to do the challenges and to get the 3 stars on everything, which I've done, I think, on all of them.
But you haven't platinum Hitman Go, you said.
Yeah, because those also have an additional challenge. And the one that I'm stuck on, Greg, you have to kill all 4 of the guards on one, like, with one shot.
Yeah.
And I can't figure it out. I know I could look it up.
You don't want to. You want to do it on your own.
It ain't right. It ain't right.
Yeah, the GoPro wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Kevin. Rest in peace to the Go games. Final story on the Roper Report is just this sentence. State of Decay 2 has scored more than 2 million players in fewer than 2 weeks. Congratulations to them. We will not update you on every million they have because we already did the 1 million thing, but I wanted to put it out there. Tim.
Yeah.
I can't wait for E3. I can't believe it's so close. But it's still so far away. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
As I said, Red Dead Redemption pre-orders are up right now with the collector's editions and the whatnots. Enjoy if you want. Then, while we were gone, I guess, a bunch of Star Wars games were added to Xbox Game Pass. You can get Knights of the Old Republic, Lego Star Wars, The Force Unleashed, and The Force Unleashed 2 right there alongside State of Decay. So you can help be the next 3 million players or whatever the hell's going on over there. New dates for you. Jurassic World's getting a car. I'm sorry. Rocket League's getting a Jurassic World car pack on June 18th. Evolve's getting... Oh, I'm sorry. This is bad news. Evolve... I got a note here. Ah, Jesus, God. Hold on. I'll read that in a second. Evolve's dedicated servers will be shutting down on September 3rd, 2018. You can head over there to find out more about what all that means. And then also sad news, Guitar Hero TV, the free online game mode for 2015's Guitar Hero Live, will cease to be from December 1st or on December 1st this year. Publisher Activision has confirmed.
I wonder how many people that affects.
Now, while that happened, I got an envelope here that says, from Aces Wild Enterprises to the new, he put quotes around new, the new champ. And I can already tell you what it is. Yeah, it's an ace.
Jesus Christ.
Put it on that microphone and people can hear it. If you, again, have missed party mode, there has been shakeups in the Kinda Funny cinematic universe. I beat Johnny Ace in Mario Tennis for the Kinda Funny world title after having to beat Miranda, after having to beat you, and you beat Philip from IGN.
Yeah.
Then you and I, of course, won the championship. I don't know why Ace is... Why Johnny Ace is celebrating these things.
Johnny Ace likes to party!
It doesn't have anything to do with anything, Johnny Ace!
Oh, I love it.
Yeah!
Please go watch that party mode. We're very proud of it. We love it very much. Time to get into reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Omaha Steaks. I can't say enough nice things about Omaha Steaks. As you know from listening to this, on Memorial Day, we grilled them out here. That's right. 1 week ago today, we grilled our Omaha Steaks. We did the steaks. I did the potato wedges. We've done chicken fried steaks last on Friday, I think, as well. Omaha Steaks is great. And Father's Day is coming up. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to forget about Father's Day until the last second. So what you need to do is take them up on this offer right now. Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to my listeners and viewers on Father's Day. At 78% off, this is an amazing deal. You can go to omahasteaks.com, type in KF Games in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 tender filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 chicken fried steaks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 all beef Omaha steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of steak fries, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha steak seasoning packet, plus you get 4 more burgers that are ready to be grilled. Again, I sent this to my father years ago. He liked it so much that every holiday I now get back Omaha steaks from him. Sometimes Kevin doesn't read the package, thinks they're part of the promotion, puts them in the freezer and tries to take my meat. But Kevin can never take my meat. Again, get this limited time package for just $49.99. When you go to omahasteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar and add the Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type KF in the search bar, and get your dad to fire up that grill. Tim?
Yeah.
I'm going to start with you.
Please do.
Crazy Nintendo fan writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Tim motherfucking Geddes.
Hit me.
I've been hearing your thoughts on a Zelda Link's Awakening, and as a huge Zelda fan, I am always down for more Zelda. I want to know, though, does the announcement of Zelda's 2DS XL coming in July shake your faith? So far, every Legend of Zelda title to come to the 3DS has been accompanied by a new variant of the 3DS. If the new game was coming, wouldn't they want people to be hungry for the new game rather than packaging an older title with a system right before the launch of the new game? Crazy Nintendo fan.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure that they're going to do this. I'm just thinking if we do get new 3DS game announcements, like big ones, not little tiny ports and stuff, I think that it would be the Link's Awakening.
Your prediction, yeah, remake. Is that that's what's going to happen. They're going to remake Link's Awakening, put it on 3DS?
Yeah, and it's like that's not a firm prediction. It's just one of those things where I'm like, it would make sense. But I feel like the timeline for it making sense is dwindling.
Yeah.
So if we don't hear about it at this E3, I don't think it will happen.
You'll give up the ghost.
You're bringing up some good points with the 2D XL bundle, but at the same time, bundles for the DS line never really correlate to the other decisions Nintendo makes.
Yeah.
And there's been so many of them that I'm sure they can come up with another Zelda bundle.
Okay. I got another one for you. Esteban Castro writes in and says, hello, Greg and Tim. I was wondering if you played the Mario Tennis Aces demo this weekend, and if so, what your thoughts were on the game. I personally loved it. I managed to win 2 tournaments, one as Rosalina and one as Chain Chomp. That's my boy. Greg Miller says that. And find the game mechanics are great. My favorite aspect of the game is on the variety of tactics and how characters counter each other. Andy! Finally, I wish you the best for this year's E3 coverage. You guys have been my go-to stream to watch along every live conference since you started doing them, and I can't wait for the madness to begin. Thank you, Esteban. We can't wait to showcase you more of that there madness. Did you play the Mario Tennis Aces demo?
I did not play the demo, but we did get to play a lot for the party mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am all about the
Dude, I fucking love
Rosalina, man, my girl.
I can't wait for them to get us the review code of this. We had done, the party mode, so we had played a whole bunch there. Mm-hmm. So when we got to this weekend, I played some other stuff, but I did jump in for a few matches. And let me tell you, the kids online are already so much better than me.
Yeah.
It was like, now granted, it was like I did the tutorial run by your boy Dry Bones. Shout out to Dry Bones. Do they have the character model for Dry Bones playing fucking tennis? They do. I can't wait to unlock his ass in this game. I don't think that's confirmed, but he's there. He's got to be. They have him right there. I'm going to play
with him. I thought that it was.
Oh, was it? We knew he showed up. I'm going to unlock Dry Bones.
I think all the characters got leaked.
I'm going to fucking tell you right. Oh, the data mine. Dry Bones give me this game. I want to play him. I'm going to play him. All right? The tutorial, very handy. We should have played that before we played Mario Tennis Aces because it did teach me a lot. Oh, that's what I should have been doing. This is what I should have been doing.
Yeah.
But then I went on and did two tournaments and got my just butt whipped because they were already playing so much. Andy Cortez, I called you in and got you on the mic over there. What are your thoughts? You played it.
I fucking love this game, right? Man.
How?
Dude, I love it, man.
Yeah. How much did you play? You and Barrett were all over the place. I saw you putting up screenshots.
I played several hours on Saturday and a little bit on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's all you can tell how much a player has played based on how many points that they've accrued. And so one of the earlier championships I got into, I started noticing that the total points sort of show you how long the person's been playing.
Yeah.
Tried out with Mario a bit, didn't do too well, a little bit too slow. Yoshi, not
but
too
like
great
his
either.
But I special move where he like jumped across the court to knock it back. I was using that.
Oh, all of them have that ability.
Yeah, but his looks better. Like, when I was Chain Chomp, I felt like I had no control over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that was also when we first started playing. Chomp, chomp, womp, womp.
I ended up, in the first round of the tournament, like, I ended up getting to the championship, not the first time, but several times into it, and just got my ass handed to me by a dude playing as Waluigi, and he had, like, 12,000 points.
Jesus.
And I saw 12,000, and I looked at me, and I had, like, 1,000-something. I was like, okay, this guy's played probably since it launched and has been playing nonstop.
Yeah.
And then
one of them Andre Seegers type.
And I was like, man, I just can't do it. I'm just not good enough, I guess. I'd gotten to like the semifinal round several times. Finally made it to the championship, got trounced by Waluigi. And then I was like, I'm done. I got my ass whooped. This dude was doing stuff that I didn't even know was possible.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to combat the things that he was doing. And then Sunday morning, started up, immediately in my first match, like, just 2-0'd everybody. I was destroying people left and right.
Oh, yeah, you were.
And it was just, like, such a lucky happenstance sort of thing that the first match, like, the first day I was losing to people in the second, maybe first, third round.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one, I was just 2-0'ing everybody. Got to the championship as Bowser and 2-0'd the guy. And it was just, like, so easy compared to other matches that you just kind of, I just got lucky that I got paired up with people that had no idea really how to play.
I want to piggyback off what you're saying here. Jacob wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good afternoon, Greg and friends. And then he puts in parentheses in the most discouraged tone possible. I partook in the Mario Tennis Aces tournament demo and no game that I've ever played left me feeling so defeated, so broken, and so disheartened. The thing that hurts the most is that I really liked the game itself, but I played 13 matches and only won 2. I would have played more, but between working 2 jobs and getting my house ready for my soon-to-be daughter, congratulations.
Congrats.
That was all the time I had for. Then he had a question we're not going to read, but I thought that was interesting because here was my thing too. Even when I got online and like, granted, it was my thought process was, I just want to see how it's going. I had some lag. Did you have lag?
Yes. Yeah. There were several times that I ran into where I was doing really well and I'm like playing in the match to get to the championship.
Yeah.
And then I am waiting for the guy to serve. So I'm kind of moving my character left and right. Move the joystick. Bowser moves like 2 seconds later. And I was like, oh boy, this is not good.
Yeah.
They hit me the ball and I react and my player just doesn't get there in time. I did notice, I saw Zach Ryan from IGN post a video of a moment where he was getting like 1 frame every 3 seconds or something. Jesus. And that happened to me a few times too.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like this overwhelming thing that I was experiencing, like a lot of other people seem to experience over the weekend. But, I'd say maybe 15% of the time I would experience some lag or some weird hitch where the game would just freeze and then I would get kicked out of the game. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it was as bad as a lot of people experienced it. Yeah.
More important to the question from Jacob or the story from Jacob, that was my thought too, playing it, of like, man, people online are already way better than me, but I don't care because the Switch is about us playing together, right? Like, it's gonna be like Smash. Like, I'll never be able to compete on Smash, but here I can hold my own a little bit.
Well, it's also gonna have a cool single player experience, which I'm
excited
about.
To play with you guys, because like when Mario Golf World Tour was on 3DS, you know, IGN, we did a thing where I started this thing called Tea Time, where we all come into work early and play for an hour. And I'd love to do stuff like that here. I'm like, all right, cool. It's 5 o'clock. Let's stop doing everything and actually get in some matches and do a tournament or something.
Fuck yeah, right. I think I ended the. Is it over? Is it?
It's over now.
Okay. Yeah, I think I ended. I was 24 and 15 or something like that.
Dang.
For a while, I was like 12 and 12, 13 and 13, 14, and then I just kind of had this like hot streak at the end.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
Come at me.
Andy Mack writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I'm English. Oi there, KFGD hosts! I have a question about trophies, so it's right up Greg's alley. I saw you got your 69th platinum. Nice. On Detroit. You put that in there, too. I've enjoyed Detroit first time in a while. A game has made me thing and made the choices really hard. I've nearly finished it, but I don't have any platinum trophies. But does playing every ending and changes take away from the experience? I think about Detroit when I'm not playing it. I've fallen in love with it. Man, there's some periods and punctuation needed here. But I fear playing it over and over again for a trophy could take away from that feeling. I'm currently trying to get my first platinum on my second Persona 5 playthrough. Keep impregnating that chicken. Andy Mack. Yeah, I've been there, Andy Mack. When I finished The Last of Us, I put it down. I'm like, that was The Last of Us for me. I don't want to go back and redo that. And I at one point when it came to PS4, tried. It's like, oh, I want to replay this. And I started, and I'm like, you know what? No. Knowing what was coming, the first time playing through was so magical of not knowing what was going to happen to Joel and Ellie. But knowing where it all led and stuff, it took away from it for me. So I couldn't do it. Mm. You, Tim?
I've never platinum
the game. But replaying, have you ever finished a game and put it on a shelf and been like, that's that good? Game? Going home was the same way.
I recently played a game that I'm like, I'm good. I guess it's God of War.
Oh, okay.
I beat it. I'm like, you know, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. Speaking of God of War, Gregway, CP wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Dear Greg and Tim, on Friday I finished God of War and the first thing I did was listen to the excellent spoiler cast with Corey Barlog you guys did. Still available, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Doing way better than thought it would. Thank you so much. In it, Greg described God of War as a perfect game. Now the initial release hype has died down a bit, and you've both had the chance to put more hours in, including the post-game. Does it maintain up those initial reactions? For me, whilst I absolutely loved the story, I'm still making my mind up on how much I enjoy the post-game, especially those damn Valkyries. Keep humping that hand. Now he says CO in London, Oi Governor, but then before he said he was CP. I have no idea who this person is anymore. I stand by that, yeah. I think it's a perfect video game. I think it's such a great single-player campaign, story, everything, combat, amazing. And then, yeah, as somebody who wanted to get the platinum, I sat down and went through it and enjoyed every moment of it. And I know, like, the mistrials and all that, not for everybody. The Valkyries, not for everybody. But it's what I wanted more of that game from.
Yeah, it definitely is still living up to the hype for me. Recently, I went to that bachelor party, and my friends, not the biggest gamers, but they all own PS4s and stuff, and so they'll ask me like, hey, what games are you playing? I'm like, guys, you need to fucking play God of War. And like, so many of them like, oh, I loved God of War, but I don't know that, like, I need more of that. I'm like, no, it's different. Trust me, this game is worth it. And like, the more I talked about it, the more I was like, fuck, I love this game.
Yeah, nothing but fond memories of it. I have not lost any of the shine on that game. Tim?
Yes.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Thiaz Tor needs help on the PlayStation 4. The PSN name, just like it sounds, Thiaz Tor. I'm kidding. Thiaz Tor. Thiaz Tor says, going back through The Division, as I never got that far in that being a solo player looking for some best friends to come along for the ride from start to platinum, potentially. Also play Monster Hunter, Fortnite, as well as other co-op/multiplayer type games. So if you want to play The Division to get ready for Division 2, just like Big Kev Dalkus, Thiaz Tor, it's in the description. Thiaz Tor. Tim, we asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunny and kindoffunnygames and, you know, whatever and all the other shit. What are you watching? Do it.
Kebabs says Beat Saber's already confirmed for PSVR.
Yeah, okay. I still think you could do it. I mean, are you just going off the Twitter from the guy? Because I think I asked him. I think I'm sure a million people asked. But I think I asked him.
Stripey says Beat Saber's audio announced for PSVR a couple months ago, back in March. All it said was going to be out in the next couple months. So I can see it getting a
Who date. Announced it, though, is my question. I know you don't have this information probably at your fingertips. Somebody who run into your wrong can. I'm asking, was there ever an official statement from PlayStation, or was it the Beat Saber guy being like, oh, no, we want to break. Because I remember him tweeting back at me, being like, no, we want to break the PlayStation VR.
Kebab says the hyperbolic metagonism, which is the developer, said it wouldn't be more than a few months away. It will require move controllers.
I feel like that, and don't get me wrong, is that, okay, well, that's a confirmation. It's coming. Great. I feel like PlayStation would still say an eagerly anticipated game comes to the PlayStation VR. It doesn't have a real release date. I think if they make a big deal about it, they have the first hands-on with it, they have gameplay trailer, they have a release date for it, that still works for Sunday. Even though officially, I'm with you, they've said it's coming, great.
And finally, Arbuthanot says, PS4 exclusive content for Red Dead 2 was announced on PS Blog the day Red Dead 2 was announced.
I thought so too. Thank you very much. Yeah, I didn't have time to look through and find that, but I was like, all right, I'm going to put it in there anyway. Who knows what it means. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every week, on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. You can watch on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you do, thank you. Consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Keep the likes on. Mics on. The lights going. Let's get run down the host for the week. Tuesday, Andrea Renee from EA Play comes to be a co-host with us. Wednesday, Jared Petty. Thursday, Jared Petty. Friday, Andrea.
Nope.
No, Tim. Right. Gettys. I changed that. I never changed it on here, though. That was dumb. Tim. Mm-hmm. Andrea, big time in us now. She's going to go rehearse for EA now.
Oh, I got a press conference to rehearse for. Oh,
you know what I mean? Renee. A lot of excuses from her. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.